So this morning, I'm going to speak to you on something that God has shared on my heart through a dream I had. God does speak to people through dreams, and I believe that this was a God-given dream. And he's also helped me to understand this dream so that it can encourage me and also encourage you also. Before I start, I'm going to, because obviously it's a family service, the dream was quite vivid, so it's now the PG rating. And I'm only going to take a snippet of it. And I'm not going to go into, you know, the whole symbolization of what each element means, because that's just going to detract from what God wanted me to convey to you this morning. Okay. It's also going to demonstrate God's love for his people, both saved and unsaved. The reason why I'm going to also make it a little bit more condensed is because obviously time restrictions. And this is the point that I want to bring forward this morning. So if you want to put a title to this sermon, it's Satisfied Beyond Measure. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us through dreams. You speak to us through all sorts of media. Thank you, Lord, that you've helped me to understand what it is that you want to get across to myself and others, Lord, and that by sharing this, Lord, I hope that you'll work within the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and help them to put it and into their lives and do what it is that you want them to do, Lord, so you, Lord, ultimately will be glorified. And those that, Lord, perhaps don't understand at the moment, I pray, Lord, that you'll open their eyes, Lord, to what I have to say, Lord, and that they will have a revelation of what it is that you're trying to say to them, Lord, so that when they walk out here today, Lord Jesus, they'll just have a deeper knowledge of who you are, Lord Jesus, and what you are to them and how much you love them, Lord. Amen. So who likes going on holiday? Yay. Who likes going on adventure holidays? Yay. Who likes going on adventure holidays that involve theme parks? Yay. Okay, excellent. Okay. Well, I was on holiday in my dream, but it wasn't a theme park. It wasn't one of those like Disney parks. It was just a quiet afternoon, and as a family, we decided to go out and just take in the scenery, see what was at this area that we were holidaying in. And as we were walking out, I saw in the distance a lake with boats on it. And I thought, oh, that looks idyllic, little boats on the lake. And I was watching these boats on the lake, and they started to move. And they actually started to go round in a circle, like, a bit like an merry-go-round, and I was intrigued. And as I watched them, I thought, oh, that's interesting. Well, I wonder whether it's a ride. Because I love rides myself, okay. But it just didn't look like the normal ride. I thought, well, maybe it'll be more thrilling than actually having to get in a boat and row it. Because, you know, you could just sit there and enjoy it. So as I got closer, I was looking to see where I could pay to find out how much it was. Because I don't like to pay a fortune. And I also don't like to queue, okay? I enjoyed Florida when I went to Florida, but the queuing, no. So if it wasn't going to be expensive and if there wasn't a massive queue, I'd have a go at this ride because it looked quite thrilling. But as I got closer, this ride started to speed up and it got a bit faster. And it got so fast that the water was sort of making a wave and it was coming onto the surrounding walkways, pathways onto the land. And it was starting to wet people. I thought, this is not supposed to happen, is it? Surely not. And I thought, this is just looking a little bit unsafe, surely. And it started to exceed my comfort zone. Now, I quite like extreme things. I go skiing and extreme sports. I like that excitement, that exhilaration. So for me to be a little bit concerned was concerning in this dream. But other people were still wanting to ride this ride, and I couldn't work out to it, because they were screaming. You know, like you hear them screaming on rides, but I know the scream wasn't like a pleasure scream, it was the opposite, okay? And they were clinging onto the sides, yet they were still queuing, they still wanted to go on this ride. So at this point, I decided that this wasn't good, and I was just going to get away from the ride, I was going to go in a different direction. But in the back of my eye, I was watching it play out, because it was a dream. And the boats got detached from whatever mechanism it was, and they sort of were flung outwards. Just looking at how many of people we've got in the audience. This is going to be the PG rating, so you can imagine my dreams are actually quite vivid, okay, and I can see and hear and taste everything, okay. And as they sped outwards, these people were in imminent danger, okay, and the result of that wasn't pleasant. Okay, let's just put it that way. And I tried to avoid being hit. So as quickly as I could, I was moving away. I mean, who likes exciting rides? Maybe not that one, but who likes exciting rides? Yeah, we all like exciting rides, don't we? Whoever has been on a ride, you know, who's regretted it? Maybe not so. But I have seen people, like at Florida, they've got like a lane where you get right to the end. I mean, who queues for an hour, getting right to the end, and then decided, oh, I'm not going on it anymore. It's like, okay. But some people do, don't they? Some people choose these rides and then regret it. I mean, it could be that they get on a ride thinking it's something, and then they realise when they get close up it's something else. There was one ride in America, it's quite a famous one, when you go up a mountain and it sort of comes up and it stops and you think, oh, what's going to happen now? Because it looks like, well, there's no track. And then you end up going backwards and, you know. Anyway, so really you wouldn't get on a ride if you think it's going to be safe, would you? So this dream, as I said, it turned into a little bit of a nightmare, because this place that I was visiting, the theme park wasn't as it seemed to be. The rides were not only dangerous, but there was a high possibility of being injured, or it could have progressed to something quite life-threatening. So at this stage, I was trying to work it out, and I knew it was a godly dream. Don't ask me how, but I just know these things. And I was trying to piece it together, and I'm trying to communicate with God while these things were progressing, because I knew he wanted to show me something. So I'm just letting it take its toll. Now, everybody in the dream, including myself, was experiencing the same thing. We're in the same location. They were taking the same things in. But there was a difference. I was doing one thing, avoiding the rides, but the other people were actually wanting to go on them and seeking them out and actually riding them. They weren't forced in any way, but they chose and had made that decision to get on them. And some of the children were being encouraged by the parents, which I was a bit uneasy about that. You see, we all live life, and it's the same life we live, but we don't always live life the same. We were different because we were thinking different things. I had a different opinion of this ride. Otherwise, I would have avoided it. They were of a different mindset. You see, the decisions we make are based on what we think, and the resultant actions depend on what decisions we've made. Or to put it another way, our beliefs will affect our decisions, and from that decision will form a particular outcome. And the Bible affirms this, doesn't it? We only have to look at Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what else does the Bible say? On one hand, our decisions can cause us to sin, actually. Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony and slander. But on the other hand, it can make us free, fulfilled and satisfied beyond all measure, states in Romans 12:2, and this is from the English Standard Version. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So if we go back to my dream, I came to this conclusion that we're not only thinking differently, but there must be a reason why they were getting on these rides, unaware of the danger, perhaps, because, as I said, no one wants to get on these rides and endanger themselves, and maybe unless they can't help it. And at that thought, God revealed to me that these people were unable to walk past or make a rational choice, so they just followed the crowd and participated in the same activity as the others. I can only imagine it's like being dazed or something, because they were thinking irrationally. But the most disturbing part of the dream, which really I had a feeling of, not anxiety, because that's not the right word, but it just sort of burdened my heart, was the fact that these people were riding these rides, and the people had made these rides, but they were getting far more extreme because people weren't being satisfied. So you go on it and go, oh, well, it was all right. You know, what's that? Oh, that was boring, that one. And so they're making them more and more exhilarating, more and more appealing to people, because people just aren't fulfilling a satisfaction. They haven't got, they're not fulfilled in life in a certain area, so that they're seeking these things for fulfillment. And it is, typical of the world today, isn't it? While I was writing this, I watched a documentary made by the BBC, and it was just a small excerpt, and it was about the youth in Colombia. And this particular documentary was based on gravity biking. I don't know whether you know anything about that, but these youngsters who, as I say, perhaps they were jobless, they were deprived, they had one thing which they did because of this lack of job opportunity, maybe. Well, it describes later on why he did it, but these bikes that they had were like a normal bike, but they were souped up. They had engines put on them, and in Colombia it's quite mountainous, and they used to ride these bikes at full speed down the hill. But not only was it just like a normal bike without brakes, they put engines on them to make them go as fast as possible. That's perhaps why they call them gravity bikes. And during the documentary, this youngster describes the sport to him as very important to my life. It's fundamental, because it helps me forget my problems and makes me happy. He disagrees with others who say it's just adrenaline you've got. He says, no, it's a sensation where you feel more alive. I do it because I love it. It's my passion. It's not adrenaline. But he didn't want to die and die young. So his dilemma was to stop riding or not. Something is telling him to do it, and something is telling him not. But he chooses the love of his bike over the loving family and friends that are constantly reminding him that this is just not something you should be participating in. Because he believes that this is giving him the feeling of living rather than dicing with death. You see, people are searching for an answer to fulfillment, not just in an exciting ride in a theme park or life itself, but they're going to the extreme to have pleasure. They might be getting a buzz, maybe drugs or you know, anything that's going to fulfil them, or they think that's going to fulfil them. But the Bible points us to where we need to be looking to find that fulfilment. Let's read to Colossians 3, 1 to 2, English Standard Version. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are of above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above and not of the things of the earth. Thankfully, as Christians, those with Christ in them, and with that knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, we can have that ultimate fulfilment in our lives as we focus on the scriptures and what it's taught us. Amen. So, just like it says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. For me, that's just something I hold on to dearly. John 3:36, I think it is. But what happens to those who haven't yet experienced this overwhelming love of Christ? His mercy, his compassion, his grace. How are they going to be satisfied and fulfilled beyond all their wildest dreams, beyond their measure? Especially when John 10:10 states, the thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. I came, that's referring to Christ, that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance till it overflows, to the full, till it overflows. That's from the Amplified Version. He has warned us to stand firm, Galatians 5:1. Even through Christ has set us free. We have not to submit again to the yoke of slavery. I.e., going back to our old ways maybe from before we were Christians. So be alert. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Yes, it can be a challenge, can't it, for those who've accepted Christ and remain strong in our faith. We just have to take hold of the things that God has bestowed on us as his beloved children. But what about that Colombian who was chasing his feelings rather than the fact? Is there hope for him? What does the Bible tell us about this? For he so loved the world that he gave his only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. You see, God's heart in my dream and is highlighting the lost, which he loves so very much. The lost is everybody. It just illustrates what God wants of mankind to hear about him, so that they also can enjoy the benefits and the inheritance of Christ if they so choose to believe in him. See, one of the most frustrating things and experiences as a Christian is sharing scripture with somebody in order to encourage them or help them. And then they only turn around and say, what does Johnny say? But. I've talked to people that have been desperate in a certain given situation and they've thanked me for their advice and encouragement. And I've shown them scripture. But I'm still waiting for them to just take hold of that lifeline. For some reason they haven't. It saddens me as a mother, and it causes my heart to feel pain when my children or those dear close to me, that they might do something which is potentially bad for them, and they may continue to suffer or feel pain or overpowered with sin and so forth. And then they choose to be free of this constraint and a complete satisfaction and fulfilment, even though we put it before them. So in my dream, I was frustrated. As I walked from this boat ride, which I was given the explanation about, I began to think of what I could do to help these people who seemed to be oblivious of their situation. And then I came to this big building. It was gated, and there was a queue of people pushing and shoving, wanting to go through these gates and enter the building. And as you go in, as you went into this building, there was an escalator, and I was going down this escalator. And there was an escalator on the other side coming up in the opposite direction, as there often is. But that one was empty, and this other one was full of people. It was very, very long, and it was moving really slowly. And I went over, and I saw what was happening at the bottom. And I tried to physically grab the people and pull them up. I even went down the other escalator and tried to get them to come over the barrier. It was slow. It was far more dangerous doing that than going to that bit down the bottom, I'm telling you. And I was shouting to them, I was going, look, can you not see? You know, look, what's happening down there? You know, don't do it, don't do it, don't go. But it didn't affect them in the slightest. They just continued to go down. So the plain fact was that these people were blind, deceived, and in my own physical strength, I couldn't stop the inevitable, an outcome, or what was going to happen to these people at the end of the escalator. So what was God, in conclusion, trying to say to me and teach me? We're called to share the gospel, not just to tell the lost what to do. Believe. Have faith. Come on, you can do it. We need to explain how to do it. Can't expect them to do it straight away. That's what discipling is. That's what encouraging is. That's what showing them is. You have to reveal the truth to these people. We also have to be a living example to others. We can't be doing one thing and then expecting someone else to do what is explained in the Bible. We have to shine Jesus and be like Jesus. Was Jesus wacky? No. He was a normal person full of love and all those attributes. Are you the same? We're not forceful. We're not wacky and crazy. That's going to put people off. We have to be our own persons, our own people. We're all individually created, okay? But we have to be like Jesus. We have to shine that love so they can see that in our lives. We have to be living examples. We also have to work with the Holy Spirit. It's not about us doing things. It's a collaboration, the Holy Spirit and us at the same time. We work together. It's only through Christ that we can be set free from a life of bondage and total freedom, find fulfillment, and to be satisfied beyond measure. We also have to be aware of deception. You see, the world will try to take you with them. We have to be strong Christians. We have to be discerning so we don't fall under the same trap. Be aware. Just because someone else does it, doesn't make it right. Deception can be very subtle. An interesting fact, talking about exhilaration and maybe fear. You can take those two qualities. The feeling of excitement and the feeling of fear can result in the same physical reactions. Our heartbeats are raised, we sweat a bit, your chest can feel like it's heavy, you can have a pit in your stomach, and you have a surge of I've written this down, whether I pronounce it right. Cortisol. And that's when your body goes into like a hyper-aware state. So excitement and fear can be exactly the same feeling. The only difference is what your brain calls it. Okay? So that's how subtle, you know, deception can be. What you believe you think, you know to be true. Therefore, you act on that belief. The Colombian youth, like the people in the dream, like some people in the world, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our community, are chasing something they can never reach. They believe that they will be happy once they are satisfied or fulfilled. But you can never reach happiness unless you're satisfied. So it's a vicious circle. We need to believe in something that's real, that can transform your life and focus on the truth and take hold of it and keep it here in your heart. So what's it saying? Proverbs 5:6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Don't be discouraged when you don't see things happening as the way you wanted them to. I was desperate for these people to, you know, come away from that dangerous situation, to see like I see, to be fulfilled in the way that I fulfill. Sometimes it just doesn't happen straight away. God's got his hand on every situation, we know that. But in his timing. And we can't often know or don't often know or not even informed of the whole situation. But what we can do is pray. We're told to pray. Phil prayed this morning, earlier on, with these people. This is what we're called to do as well as being disciples and good witnesses. You see, not only do we pray for these people, we could pray for ourselves to not be anxious and not be discouraged. It says in Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. God is in control. He always has been. We are called to be obedient to God's requests and his promptings for his glory, not ours. So stand firm. Want you to be encouraged. Get out there and make disciples for Jesus so that nobody, like these people in my dream, can perish. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That's Romans 10:14. So God loves us so much, each and every one of us. He helped me to understand that he's given me a life to be lived in fulfillment beyond measure. I just have to submit to God. But for the others who haven't experienced God, we need to help them understand that if they want fulfillment, if they want eternal happiness, if you want to call it happiness, it's only through God, and it's down to us to help them see that. Otherwise, they're going down the escalator. So I'm going to close. Again, I will pray again for the people that we have here. Because we're called to pray continually. But also, if you want prayer or to talk about anything I've said, come up after this, after the service. Could even come up now if you so desire. I'm very willing to pray for you, even to encourage you or talk to you about any given situation. Whether it's if you're a, you know, a Christian, you know Jesus. Maybe you're not a Christian and you don't know Jesus, but really want to be fulfilled, to have that eternal happiness. Come and talk to me, Andy, Jean, Ian, Ruth, Phil, anybody. Doesn't have to be up here. It can be out there. We're having tea and coffee. Don't let today go by without thinking, I might need to do something. But anybody listening online, you know, you've listened to it, you've gone through the website, send a message. Check out this. It's powerful. It's God's word. It will show you how to be fulfilled completely. Okay, so to close, we'll just pray.